Hey guys, welcome to today's episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. Now this is a two-part episode. We are finishing up the last five principles of intuitive eating. If you have no idea what we're talking about, jump on back to episode 63 and listen to part one and then follow up with this episode. All right, on to the show.
Welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour with your hosts, Katie Hake and Lauren Wrighton.
Hey, Lauren.
Hey, Katie. How are you today?
Currently, I am a little sweaty and sore, and I need a shower, but what's new, right?
Same old, same old. I am a little hot and sweaty because the room we're sitting in is just a little bit too warm for me.
My office currently is just freezing all day, every day, so I'm just ready for winter to be over.
I know. I've been wanting to rush the winter along, but I also want to, like, enjoy. Did I say this before? I think I did. But yeah, I want to enjoy Penelope, but I also want it to be spring really badly.
So today we are finishing up with the last five principles of intuitive eating. This is super exciting if you're listening to this on the day that it was released, because we're also getting ready to start our virtual book club accountability type thing. We're going to call it Mindful March.
Yeah, and what it is it's a free group. It's not too late to join. It's going to be on Facebook. You can find the link to the group on our Instagram page or our Facebook page. But what we're going to do is we're going to read Intuitive Eating, the book, and you don't even have to read the book. Like, if you already have something going on in March that you're not going to be able to read the book, then that's fine. You can join us without reading. But we're really going to be implementing the principles throughout that month. And as we go through these principles, it's pretty glaringly obvious to me that it's not easy to implement these. So I'm excited to go through this with as a group and kind of share our struggles and help each other out as we learn as much as we can from intuitive eating.
Well, let's jump right into our sixth principle, which is discover the satisfaction factor.
So what this principle is all about is really starting to go back to enjoying food. And this sounds great. I mean, we all want to enjoy our food, but one of the layers to this principle is those foods that you really like. Maybe you just really, really love French fries, but you've been denying yourself French fries for the past 10 years. What this principle is all about is eating those foods that you really love instead of substituting them. Because what you might be doing now is, instead of getting fries with your meal when you're out to eat, you might get a salad or you might get a soup. Well, the idea is that you would eat that salad or you would eat that soup, but you would still, you would eat more and more because you're still trying to replace that satisfaction that you would have gotten from the French fries. So if you just would have ate the French fries, you would be satisfied. You would eat until you were full and then you would be done.
Kind of bouncing off this principle, I see a lot in clients and people in our classes, we can still overeat on quote unquote healthy food. And if we constantly deny and deprive ourselves, like Lauren said, we're still never going to get that satisfaction. You may be full, but you might not be satisfied.
And if you're thinking, okay, yeah, well, if I were to get the French fries, I'm not going to stop after, you know, 10 French fries. I'm just going to keep eating and eating and eating. Well, one of the things that we're not talking about in these episodes that they do talk about in the book are the different types of eaters. And if you do read the book, then you can get a lot more out of these principles because you can understand that if you know what kind of eater you are, that will help you improve your relationship with food. And then implementing these principles will make a little bit more sense.
Our seventh principle is honor your feelings without using food. This is a tough one for sure, but the idea behind this would be, okay, if you are stressed and you tend to eat when you're stressed, okay, well, you're almost just procrastinating that feeling, right? Instead, deal with the stress instead of using food as a coping mechanism.
And we've talked about emotional eating before, but this could be stress, anxiety, boredom, any sort of emotion, positive, negative, neutral emotions, like anything. It's just, it's about using food as a coping mechanism instead of diving into whatever the problem really is. We did do an entire episode on emotional eating with Paulina Segovia, registered dietitian. And so if you want to go jump back to that episode to hear a little bit more about emotional eating, I don't remember the number of that episode, but it was a long time ago. So just keep scrolling until you find it.
I see this one a lot in my patients, mostly because they get this weight loss surgery and they physically cannot use food as a coping mechanism. I know I was speaking with someone recently and they were very emotional talking about this because it kind of hit them. You know, everyone was enjoying grandma's favorite cookies and, you know, special holiday treats over the holidays. And this patient realized, you know, I can't do that anymore. I can't. And for her, you know, maybe it wasn't so much about the food, but it was more so I can't enjoy that social or that cultural experience. You know, so part of this is understanding, you know, okay, I'm in this, let's say you go to a funeral, right? And there's a lot of food. Accepting the fact that you're sad and not being judgmental about it, not being upset about it, but I'm sad and that's okay. And I need to go through it. I need to deal with this, feel it, rather than masking it or covering it up with food.
Jumping back to the patient that you're talking about, food is very social. But it's so interesting. I think there's such a balance of, oh, I don't need those foods to enjoy Christmas, but you can go to the extreme on both sides, I guess. Like, for example, you have people that say, oh, well, I'm just going to eat everything at Thanksgiving because this is the holiday. And it's they go to that extreme. But then we also have other people that walk into Thanksgiving thinking, like, I'm only going to have 2 ounces of turkey and I'm never going to eat the macaroni and cheese because I would eat too much and I can't control myself. And it's like part of us see that as like having the moral high ground because, oh, that person has so much willpower and they never eat anything that's quote unhealthy. But food is part of our culture and food, we do get a lot of pleasure out of eating food. So I think it's hard to draw the line on like what's healthy, what's a good mental healthy spot to be in.
Right. So the idea behind this would be to honor the fact that, yes, this is part of my culture. You know, this is diving a little bit deeper, but what is your relationship with food? Are you one extreme or the other? And kind of digging more into the why behind that and how you find that. I don't even want to say balance because it's not necessarily about balance, I think, when it comes to your relationship with food. It's more than that.
And before we move on, I think using Thanksgiving as an easy example, but when you let yourself enjoy the foods that you like, you realize that you don't like some of the foods that you'd been denying yourself. I wonder if that makes sense, but what I mean is, you know, if you always go into Thanksgiving having just like turkey and salad, let's say, because you're like stuffing's unhealthy and macaroni and cheese is unhealthy, and if I could, I would eat all those foods, but I can't. Well, if you were to eat a little bit of all of them, you'd realize, oh, I love macaroni and cheese like I thought, but I don't really like mashed potatoes that much. So you really actually know and learn what kind of foods you really like. And I don't want to use the word worth it, but the foods that bring you pleasure.
Right. Removing the word worth. Worth should not be just kind of has food and exercise aren't transactional. One, you know, trying to remove those words that we put behind food as looking as this food is healthy, this is food is unhealthy, this is good, this is bad, kind of removing the labels from food in general.
Yeah, and this is just like a hardcore tangent. Evidently, I want to talk about Thanksgiving, but it's also not like, oh, well, I won't eat the stuffing so that I can have the macaroni and cheese. It's not about that. Okay, end tangent on Thanksgiving and this topic. All right, so our 8th principle is to respect your body. Now, the idea behind this one is respect that you are who you are and you don't have the body as your next door neighbor. So chasing after some sort of other body ideal is just not practical because you're born with the body that you're born with. The example that they use in the book is if you have a size 8 shoe, then why would you try to cram your foot into a size 6? And whenever I heard that analogy, I was like, that's probably pretty depressing for some people because they so desperately don't want to be in the body that they're in. or they've struggled their whole life with like wanting to look differently. So I don't have all the answers behind that question, but I just thought that this one was challenging.
This reminds me of the episode that we did with a registered dietitian, Casey Massey, and talking, using the word normalizing your weight, right? So I'll use myself for an example. I know that my weight has fluctuated regardless of me trying to lose weight. I've gained weight, but I always kind of find when I am at this happy balance of not really paying attention to my weight and just, I guess, almost eating intuitively, not really putting any pressure on the way I eat or how I eat, I find that the weight I'm at is normal, right? You don't have to really do much. It's kind of almost your maintenance weight, but also just the weight that you hover around. And this does have to do with weight, but it also has to do with, I think, body image. And body image would be your perception of how you look. So not necessarily how you actually look, but how you perceive yourself and how you feel about that.
Yeah, another way to describe this eighth principle is body acceptance. And I think that using that word acceptance, a lot of our listeners probably don't want to accept where they're at with their body. And that's okay, because maybe you haven't found that peace and the happiness that you can have with your body. So maybe it's okay that you can't accept it quite yet. But I mean, as the quote says, you can love your body and still want to change it.
I was just going to say that. I think it's okay to want to change and improve, but it depends where you're coming from, right? Are you coming from a motivation of looks and how other people look at you? Or are you coming out of a place of, I want to be healthier, I know I can be better? But again, being careful what that term better is.
Yeah, or trying so hard to lose like another 5 pounds, but why?
Almost like, are you unhealthy? Is that 5 pounds going to make you happy? Kind of asking those questions, like we've talked with Maggie on one of our episodes, and Jesse doing a lot of that self-exploration, just in your own head, kind of getting back to the why.
All right, the ninth is obviously my favorite, and a topic that we talk at length about, but not in a while. So the ninth principle is exercise and feeling the difference. And the difference that they're talking about here is exercising for reasons other than burning calories. Now, I remember, I don't hear it nowadays, but I remember just maybe 5 years ago, 5 to 10 years ago, when you would go into a group fitness class, you would hear things like, reach your arms up higher, pull down those calories, burn off the food that you ate yesterday. And now, really, thanks to a positive shift in society and there being more of a focus on strength and performance, you don't hear these things as much. But a lot of people still do go into the gym and are thinking strictly calorie burn.
I think it's definitely a generational thing. In one of my trainings the other weekend, actually, it was at a university, and I had an older instructor who's, you know, been in the industry for quite a few years now, and a brand new instructor, a college student. We were talking about ways to motivate your class and different cues that you could use. The one gal said, bikini season is coming around. And the younger girl who's in college, she was almost enraged by this woman's comment, you know, and I thought it was so interesting, but it made me so happy because it just goes to show kind of how women in particular, but our generations are shifting from that mindset, focusing on more positive body image, positive self-talk, for getting away from more calories is better.
Yeah, so with intuitive eating, they're saying, you know, exercise, but focus more on the benefits, the mental benefits, you know, lowering your anxiety or having more clarity and more energy, like focus on those things instead of always connecting exercise with food.
And as if you need any more reason to implement this principle number 9, just scroll through any of the podcasts. We love to talk about exercise and the why behind it. Our 10th and final principle of intuitive eating is honor your health. Eat what makes you feel good, what makes your body makes you feel well, makes you feel healthy. It's what you eat over time. That's what matters most. So rather than taking it from day to day or meal to meal, look at the grand scheme of things. What are you eating over the course of a week, over the course of a month? Kind of long, taking a step back and an aerial view of your overall diet, right? Just the way we eat.
Yeah, and I think this 10th principle was placed perfectly as the last one because it really puts a bow on the whole thing. Because with intuitive eating, I think you can look at it and think it's a little fluffy. Like, okay, well, I'm just going to end up eating fries all day. It's like, well, no, because that's probably not going to make you feel great. So this principle is about eating foods that make you feel good, and good meaning physically good, but also mentally good. So that's what it's all about, is finding a good balance between what we might consider healthy foods and what we might consider unhealthy foods.
With this being number 10, it really is kind of the, I don't want to say end goal of intuitive eating, because I don't think there is an end goal. I think it's a practice. It's just like fitness. You don't just keep working out until a certain day and then, oh, okay, hit my goal, I'm done. You have to keep at it or you lose it. But ideally, we get to a spot where we eat based on, you know, the why changes, and the what changes naturally. It's not a forced what you eat. It's just how you eat. It kind of evolves into an overall healthier spread.
Yeah, and we talk about like these principles kind of coming off fluffy. I love myself some rules, and that's why I've been a good dieter. You know, I love rules. And I think in the group that we're starting, it's going to be really interesting to see like how everyone interprets these principles and how we can all kind of find our own place in intuitive eating, because it's different for everyone.
Yeah, I'm super excited. And I love that it's principles, right? It's not rules, because that's part of this whole movement, is removing rules from how we eat. These are principles. These, not even guides. It's just, they're almost theories. So we've kind of talked about this, that we almost struggled recording this, doing this podcast, because I feel like I'm talking fluffy and just, it's not very tangible, which is the beauty and also the struggle with it. And that's why it's not going to happen overnight. So I, we're committing to this for a full month. Who knows? Maybe if we all as a group collectively think we're making progress, but we still need more time, we might keep this an open-ended group just to hold each other accountable and lift each other up. Who knows?
I'm excited and nervous about this challenge and all of it. Not really more personally, because I think I've found my own way, but it's hard to, I feel like it's going to be hard to like coach people on this, because it's not like you get like a free pass to go nuts. It's like, we want you to be happy. We want you to be healthy. We want you to honor your health. And so it's just, it's so very, very, very gray.
Part of why I think it's scary is because if we're lacking control in our life, or we live in chaos, we live in constant go, 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 that a lot of times food is the only thing that we have control over. And I think with a dieter's mentality, we try to control so much what we put in our body, and we try to control that number on the scale and what, you know, what we do with the food and how we, but like, there's only so much that we can control. And this intuitive eating is almost letting go of control and kind of trusting the process and trusting your body. And that's hard.
Yes, I feel as if that this is all about taking the drama out of food. And like you said, with wanting control, I think we want, like, we like, I don't know if this is true, but it's almost like we like the, oh, I'm so bad, I'm going to eat a whole jar of peanut butter. And then, oh, I have to be good on Monday, I'm going to eat a salad. Instead, we're just talking about like really boring, plain happiness with food. And just like, that's not as dramatic.
Right. I think of this in social media. We see fitness professionals and nutrition people, you know, posting, oh, look at this healthy, healthified, clean eating. And, you know, but if I were to post a picture of my pizza, like, that's almost shameful, you know, or.
Yeah. And it's not even shameful as much anymore, especially in like the fitness social media world. It's like, oh, I'm so good during the week, and therefore I'm allowed to have pizza on the weekend. And so people look at it and think, oh man, I wish I was her. I wish I could splurge on the weekends and still look the way she does.
Don't even get me started on cheat meals. I just, I cringe when people say cheat meals, because what does that say about your relationship with food? Like as if you're not happy with the way that you eat Monday through Friday, so you're going to cheat. I don't know. If you really take a step back to think about it, it's kind of twisted that we talk like that.
100%. Yeah, so if you are super fired up about this, if you are just so freaking tired of dieting, then make sure you check out the challenge. We are going to be all in, completely free. It's going to be a great group, I just already know. Like we said earlier, find it on Facebook. We will post the link, and also on Instagram. And if you can't for some reason find it, although I'm sure it'll be fairly easy, send us an email, send us a message on IG, and we will direct you to the place. We would love it if you would share this episode with a friend, maybe someone that you want to do the challenge with you, or maybe just someone that you think would benefit from this message. That's it for this episode. If you guys have any questions for us, please let us know. We'd love to answer them. And find us on Instagram, Fit Friends Happy Hour. All right, that is it. We will see you guys and talk to you guys very soon. Bye.
Bye.